We're all here because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we know Him as our Savior. Yeah, that works. And you know Him as our Savior, but do you know Him as your Lord? Do you know Him as your friend? We're going to talk about that a little bit, and we're going to figure out a way to do that and make sure that we know Him in these other ways too. Suppose you're walking along, carrying a cup of coffee, and you bump into somebody and you spill your coffee. Let me ask you, why did you spill your coffee? What do you think? Because somebody bumped into you, right? That's what most of us would say. Well, what would happen if instead of coffee in the cup, there was water in there? You wouldn't spill coffee, would you? You'd spill water. You spill what's in the cup. We're like that because we get bumped a lot every day. We spill things. And so what comes out of our cup is what's in the cup, right? Well, what's in your cup? Is it hostility, gossip, jealousy, anger, selfishness, division, envy? Is that what's in your cup? Or is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I bet you've heard those before, haven't you? Fruit of the Spirit. Father, let's pray. Father, please be with us today as we look into your word and into ourselves. Help us to understand what we find there. And help us to fit that understanding into lives in such a way as to become more like Christ. And we ask this in His name. Amen. Now today I want to speak to you from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. So if you have your Bible, you can look that, but I'll have it up here on the screen too. This passage covers a time when Jesus was ministering in Perea. And Perea is just there east of the Jordan River in the middle of the map. He was about 33 years old. Didn't have much time left in his earthly ministry. And he knew it. I like passages that have a few rabbit trails to run down, and this passage seems to have a whole rabbit village in there. And I'll try to control my temptation to get into a grand rabbit hunt and hopefully hold it down to just a few of the more colorful bunnies. How about that? In this passage, we read a report of Jesus bumping into a young man and what came out of his cup. Let's see what that passage says. It says, "Behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do in order to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. And if you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said back to him, "Well, all of these I have kept since I was a youth, and what do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, this passage in Matthew affects each of us in that we're challenged. We're asked to decide what the most important thing in our life really is. Our short time in the world, and its things, or eternity with God, which is it going to be? The answer should be obvious, but apparently it isn't for many folks. And that passage begins with, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And Jesus responded to the man," and I'm going to paraphrase. Jesus didn't actually say this, but this is kind of the gist of what he was saying. "Why do you even ask me such a dumb question? There is only one who is capable of doing anything that good. But if you really insist on doing something to be saved, to get into heaven, then obey the commandments." And the guy says, "Well, which commandments do I have to obey?" What does that tell us about that man's faith? Actually, it tells us about the shallowness of his faith. Jewish law instructs him to keep all of the commands, and we know that such a thing is impossible. But he seems to be asking, "What's the minimum number of commands I have to keep to be saved? What do I have to do to get into heaven? Or is there something I really need to do?" And Jesus responds to this question by giving him a list of commands that he could keep. Now, you're probably aware that the Ten Commandments can be broken into two big chunks. The first four commandments deal with our relationship. I pushed the right button. Oops. What did I do? There we go. All right. The last six commandments have to do with our relationship with each other. Here's a shortened list of those Ten Commandments. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Those four pertain to our relationship with God. And the last four, "Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's." Now, Jesus practically quoted those last six commandments to him, except for the very last one, where he quoted him a line out of Leviticus. He quoted him a line of Leviticus 19, verse 18, which says, "Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself." That line is essentially a summation of the last six commandments. A condensation. The first four commandments can also be condensed into love God The last six are love one another. The first four, love God. That one came out of Deuteronomy 6:5. Love God. Jesus said to the man, oh, excuse me, I'm getting out of my track here. Jesus condensed the Ten Commandments into two when the Pharisees asked him what the greatest commandment was, and he said, love God. The second greatest commandment is love one another. And then he said to the man, the young man, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these he'd taken out of the Deuteronomy and the Leviticus chapters. And the young man then said, and then Jesus said to the young man, if you would enter life, keep those commandments. And the young man said, I've done this all my life. And Jesus, in his response to the young man, says, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. There's the challenge. Jesus went directly into the man's heart. And we get to see now what's in his cup. In Matthew 19:22, we see when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We see a number of things in this kind of a response. Several of those things we should provide us each with questions and answers about ourselves. The first thing to notice with this young man was that he simply walked away sadly. That action alone tells me that the young man understood enough about Jesus' authority to accept what he said as truth. He didn't argue with him. He just walked away. It also suggests to me that he really didn't have a good understanding of eternity. He didn't know what he was dealing with. He didn't understand the value of salvation. Because simply walking away sadly, for he had great possessions, says that he valued his possessions above eternity. He valued what God made above God himself. Oh, he was saddened by the thought, but apparently not enough to change his heart. Now, remember, the young man has said that he had kept the commandments, most of them. But it's entirely possible that he kept these commandments for show. He was demonstrating to other people just how religious and how pious he was. He wanted to be seen as somebody that was holy. So he was keeping the commandments. I've known people like that. At least I think they were like that. But putting such an extreme value on his personal property was, for this young man, a form of idolatry. Now, idolatry means that the person has broken at least the first two of the Ten Commandments. He has something he considers more important than God himself. So under Hebrew law, the rich young man would not, at that point, have qualified to enter heaven. Walking away from Jesus would have been an even greater disqualification. Outwardly, he was keeping the commandments. Inwardly, he was not. That was what was in his cup. The encounter with the rich young man provided an opportunity for Jesus to have a teaching moment with his disciples. And we see in 19:23, and Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven." Well, just how difficult is it? Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now, suppose you're accustomed to reading a devotional every day, and that's great, and you receive a blessing for that, but God created human beings with a capability for worship, and he expects that capability to be used regularly. And that's why we're here this morning. I believe worship should be a daily activity, not just on Sundays. I would suggest, in addition to reading a devotional every day, that you also spend a little time on your knees in worship. In fact, do that first. That puts God ahead of you. Consider the direction of what you're doing. You worship, that comes out of you. You read a devotional, it comes into you. You can't inhale all the time. You have to exhale too. Now you're asking, what's that got to do with the guy in verse 19? And my thought is it's the same issue. The issue of direction. He thought he could do something to produce salvation. He can't. The direction is wrong. It goes the other way. You can't save yourself. Only God can do that. To try to make it go the wrong way, and nothing happens. The thing you can do is follow Jesus and let him do it. Salvation is his to give, not yours to get. Human effort can never be enough to achieve salvation. Only through God is that possible. Now recall what Jesus said to the young man. He said, "If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Now the answer that Jesus gave was not only that the man's heart be in the right condition, but he also said, "Follow me." Follow Jesus. He is our passage, our bridge to salvation. Without him, salvation is impossible. And when we follow him, when we trust him, we not only get the direction of events right, but we also get a free ticket to eternity. And once we're in heaven, you'll find a store of your own treasures there. Treasures that you put there, treasures I put in my store, treasures you put there while you're here on earth. Treasures that please the Lord. They are of value to him, and therefore, they're of value to us. The more the better. Now, those treasures are not gold, they're not silver, and in fact, we can't even see them with our earthly eyes, but they are much more valuable than the treasures we can see. What are those treasures? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. Those treasures are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those fruits are, in a way, like veins in a mine, veins of ore, spiritual ore. When we mine those veins, nuggets of treasure are added to our store in heaven. We become more and more like Christ. They are, in a sense, what we become, what spills out of our cup when we get bumped. Those treasures do not look like what we normally think of as treasures. And I'm pretty sure wealth in heaven will be calculated differently and used differently there, but I do not know. But I do know those treasures can never become idolatry. They can never take God's place like earthly treasures can. Now, keep in mind, too, that the problem that the rich young man had is not limited to individuals. Families, groups, whole nations can suffer the same way. Physical wealth far too often brings idolatry with it. The business of protecting the wealth can easily be put above everything, including God. We see it all around us. Nations become wealthy, they move away from God. Let me close with a challenge. A challenge meant to more clearly illustrate to you the feeling and sense of the rich young man. Remember what Jesus asked him to do. Give away your possessions to the poor and follow me. A challenge that will help you to understand where your heart is. I'm going to use the same thing Jesus did here. A challenge that will help you understand what's in your cup. A challenge that has the power to change you. My challenge, though, comes with some conditions. Here's the challenge. Give to the needy. Make a gift and give it to somebody who really needs it. That's it. That's my challenge. But I do have some conditions. I mentioned that. The first one is make sure that who you're giving it to is truly needy. It might not be the guy sitting in the parking lot outside Walmart. It might be your sister-in-law's second cousin's nephew. He might be really, truly needy. Be sure you pick someone who is. Second condition, give sacrificially. If you're going to give money, make sure it's a big enough chunk of money that it pinches a little, that you feel it, that it makes some change in your lifestyle for a while anyway. Maybe giving $100 is going to be enough you can manage. Maybe that's it. Some of you might be rich enough to give $1,000 or even more. It has to be enough. You decide. I have a third condition, the hardest one. give to someone that's poor an amount that you feel, and never tell a soul that you did it. It's a secret between you and Jesus. Don't even put it in your will that you gave this away. This is just between you and Jesus. Now, the challenge does this, it'll change you. It will change you because you will draw close to Jesus. You know those phrases in the Bible, draw close to God and he will come close to you. This is one way to do it. You know that when you go through an adventure with someone, you feel closer. And this is what happens when you do this challenge. You keep this between you and Jesus, and what happens? You develop a closer relationship with him. Never tell a soul. Just you and Jesus. That will change you because it will bring you closer on a daily basis. It'll bring you closer on a hourly, minute-by-minute basis. You're in a relationship now in a personal level. You're going to begin to understand Christ as a friend. But you've done something else. You've obeyed him. This is obedient. He asks you to do this. That means he has become your Lord. You know him now as your Lord and your friend. So now he takes up all three of those offices. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your friend. And he's in a personal, private relationship with you. Don't tell anybody. Not your spouse, not your family, not your friend. Don't even tell a stranger on the street corner. Don't even let the IRS know about this. Ever. Keep it between the two of you. Those are the conditions of my challenge. Make a gift to the needy. Make it a significant gift, and don't tell anybody about it. Can you do that? Will you do it? I guarantee it will change your heart. It will. If you do, that's what will spill out of you. This closeness between you and Jesus is going to become what's in your cup. And when you get bumped, and you will every day, that's what comes out. Now, I'm not going to come around asking you if you did this. That would be asking you to violate the third condition. So I won't ask you. Don't ask me either. Come close to Jesus. Understand him not just as a Savior, but as your friend and as your Lord. Obey him. Jesus himself said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Let's pray. Father, help us to store up treasures in heaven, to invest in you, to trust in you. Help us to understand the value of those treasures and find great joy in building an enormous heaping piles of these things in heaven. And help us to convert any wealth you give us here on earth to heavenly treasures. Amen.